It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with Mark Holland, Daniel Pryor, the Sound Mind broadcast this week looking at the subject of bipolar disorder. We hear this term kind of thrown around a lot in our society these days, Daniel, and you kind of want to contextualize what this really is about, when maybe it's not truly bipolar, or your contention is this is way overdiagnosed.
If you just care to do any kind of a research on bipolar just the suggestion your research that it might be overdiagnosed, you'll find lots and lots of information. Of course, one of my person that I go to a lot is Peter Breggin, and I've got that at my link to his website at my website. Peter Breggin, of course, is a longtime, well-published, many medical journals, many medical papers and books. He wrote Toxic Psychiatry, Talking Back to Prozac, having to do with over-medicating our kids and over-medicating the country. And so we've got some quotes in here from Peter Breggin and other doctors, medical doctors and psychiatrists, of course, are medical doctors too. A lot of people don't know that. They think that psychiatrists are the counselors, but psychiatrists
kind of the other way around.
Yeah, psychiatrists are MDs. Yeah, they work with the pharmacy. To just kind of clear the clear up on this concept of bipolar, because you hear, at least I hear it so much. It's almost like the new popular catch-all, very popular diagnosis.
Kind of like fibromyalgia. I don't feel good. Well, you must have fibromyalgia.
Yeah. Bipolar. Of course, bipolar, that describes this, the mood swing between manic thoughts and emotions and depressed thoughts and emotions. But what a lot of people don't realize is there's been kind of an evolution in this whole terminology of mental health diagnosis and in particular, bipolar, which is they've just broadened the net so that it catches a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, originally the term was manic depression, and so the condition was very rare. It was most often associated with the work with schizophrenics. That's where a lot of our psychiatry came from, was work with schizophrenics, people that were severely, chronically ill.
At one time it almost seemed like a synonymous term. Mm-hmm. Bipolar and schizophrenia was almost always kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, the criteria for the diagnosis of manic depression required hospitalization. That was one of the things that. So you have a lot of people out there that have quote, you know, the new improved bipolar that would never be hospitalized with their condition, and so it's changed into what we now call bipolar. I take this from Dr. Joanna Moncleef's book, "The Bitterest Pill: Troubling Story of Antipsychotic Drugs." What we now call bipolar is a greatly expanded version of the rare condition that I just spoke of, by the way, which is characterized by the manic period lasting weeks, possibly months, when a patient becomes hyperactive, elated, disinhibited, they don't sleep, barely eat, act out of their normal character, often followed by a crash period of deep depression. What she doesn't mention in there is the need for hospitalization, which, as I said, was part of the original manic depressive. So this whole thing of bipolar has been really popularized. And, of course, if you maybe had a widget or a snake oil that you wanted to popularize and have it go viral, there's a little place down in California called Hollywood,
right.
And those people I think would buy an old toothbrush if you priced it high enough. So taking your idea to California and selling it to those the nuts in Hollywood, and then once they have it, everybody else has to have it. So bipolar is the new popular diagnosis in Hollywood. So many of these Hollywood. My opinion is that they practice being what they're not so much that they've forgotten who they are.
There you go.
And they're on so many medications because they really don't know who they are.
It's kind of the catch-all excuse now you're saying in here, too. It defines you as a person. If you have irregular behavior, well, you just, I'm bipolar. That's why.
Yeah, that's one of the Peter Bragan quotes from an article that he wrote. This labeling does far more than impose a pseudo medical diagnosis on you. It defines you as a person. I'm bipolar, not I'm full of life. I have trouble managing all of these marvelous passions, or I need to find a way to direct my creative energies, or I have to find the courage to make the effort to make my dreams come true in the real world, he says. No, never mind all about that. I'm bipolar. Your diagnosis becomes your personal final solution to your most vital challenges in life.
Mm.
Now, that's not all the case, always the case. Again, but I would say, kind of a rule of thumb, if you've been diagnosed with bipolar and you've never been hospitalized for it, then I don't think you would qualify for bipolar under
true bipolar schizophrenia is pretty debilitating.
It is very debilitating.
Complete break with reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is again quoting from Dr. Moncleave. She's got some quotes in here about the popularization of this new bipolar. Drugs designed for a relatively small number of very disturbed patients requiring hospitalization. Antibiotics are now among the most profitable drugs in the world, just behind statins, which are used for cholesterol.
You mean antipsychotics?
Yeah. Antipsychotics. What did I say?
I think you said antibiotics.
Antipsychotics, excuse me.
Although that might be true,
now,
too.
Well, they're more popular than antibiotics.
That's amazing.
They are just behind statins used for cholesterol, and then they're in par with diabetes medications.
Wow.
But only a minority of these prescriptions will have been made for schizophrenia. Antipsychotics are no longer used only to treat severe mental disturbance, but they've broken off into the mainstream, and the growing popularity of antipsychotics has occurred partially because of the newly fashionable diagnosis of bipolar disorder. This is from a psychiatrist, Dr. Moncleave. Speaking of these, the new Zyprexa and Seroquel, those are two new antipsychotic drugs, and they are the most profitable drugs in history.
That's amazing. Ahead of Prozac, even, yeah. Those drugs are the most profitable drugs.
Most profitable in history.
Wow.
This article was written in 2013, and the author in this article said that there was a 70 or 67% increase in England alone, 67% increase in prescriptions of antipsychotics over a 10-year period, 8 million prescriptions in 1 year in England alone.
Wow.
8 million prescriptions. So what's the truth about, and again, you can find these, you can Google Peter Bragan, Bregin, Peter Bragan, and I would just Google Peter Bragan and bipolar disorder. Or Google Joanna Moncrief, Moncrieff, and just Google Dr. Moncrief and bipolar. And you'll get all kinds of articles where these are medical professionals that are rethinking this whole diagnosis. It's any more, if you just have a mood swing, you're likely to, your doctor's likely to tell you, could be bipolar because bi meaning two. And so if you've got a mood swing between 2 points, but the truth is, except for these rare cases where there's actual brain damage or an abnormality, and as you were pointing out, and I was pointing out, these are severely handicapping. Let me just make a parenthetical comment here, too. A lot of the research that was done on schizophrenic brains where they, you know, when I was going through school and they showed the schizophrenic brain shrinking, what they didn't tell you in those was that a lot of those brains that you're using are brains of schizophrenics that have been, already been on medications, antipsychotics, for years. And
so chicken
read
or the egg
here,
going on there.
Yeah. Mood swings can be fully explained in terms of reason. In other words, it has to do with how I choose to perceive and frame reality. And this is what I see in a lot of people is when they come in and they report bipolar, talk about a bipolar diagnosis, and then when they start to talk about their experience with bipolar, it's really just a heightened level of a swing between anxiety and depression, which is what we deal with all the time.
Well, it's like it's the sign of the modern age, too, you know. I mean, that's what everybody's struggling with in this fast-paced culture that we live in. So we're looking for an easy fix. We'll just take this pill now, and that'll calm you down a little bit.
So there's, and I said to say here, too, the thing that puzzles a lot of people is the swing between the two moods. You know, why not just anxious or manic, or why not just depressed? So I want to talk a little bit about that. There's really nothing unnatural or amazing about the mood swing between anxiety and depression. We were calling it manic, but it's a form of anxiety. It's a kind of anxiety. You know, I tend to simplify things down to kind of lowest common denominator. So we're talking about anxiety, depression. The APA, you know, has already found that there's between anxiety and depression, there's they share an 85% neurological comorbidity. That is, 85% of the time when a doctor diagnoses depression, he's talking about anxiety too. So just about everybody that's diagnosed with depression could be diagnosed bipolar if the swing was drastic enough. So we're going to talk a little bit about why would the swing be more drastic for some people than others. That is a 85% neurological comorbidity. So they're, now they're looking at the neurology and the difference between anxiety and depression when they're looking at the, you know, with the neurological state. Levels of serotonin, levels of dopamine, levels of the mental or cognitive relationship is probably even closer. That is, when a person is depressed, they say they're depressed. Apart from the neurological reality, what they're really talking about has to do most of the time with anxiety. I say to people, if you weren't a little bit anxious, you wouldn't be worried enough to come in for your depression.
Right.
Because, you know, depression is kind of giving up, and anxiety is worry about giving up. So they travel together so much. So that strongly suggests that these depression and anxiety are just merely points on the same continuum. So now we're going to talk a little bit, when we come back from the break, talk a little bit more about why the swing before the two points. Well, if they're entirely different realities, you could question why the swing. But the fact that they're points on the same continuum, it's not so remarkable that there's a swing between the two.
Okay. Well, talking about the subject of bipolar disorder, what it is, what it isn't, and interesting discussion this week on the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor. If you're struggling with bipolar, maybe you have a friend who is. You're concerned. Maybe somebody's told you you are bipolar and you're wanting a second opinion. I'm sure Daniel would love to offer his services. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. I have offices in Edmonds and Kirkland, and websites where you'll also find this radio show podcasted.
And people can email you there, too.
Yes, at the website. People email me through the website as well.
And the website is BibleBasedCounselor.com. Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
along with Mark Holland. Interesting discussion this week about bipolar disorder, what it is, what it isn't. And we left off, Daniel, with some of your notes here. What actually causes the mood to swing?
Yeah, what causes the mood to swing? Why doesn't it just stay one place or the other? And so I want to make some sense out of that. You can imagine perhaps walking into a room of people where maybe it's supposed to be a party or something. I don't know. But for some reason, you just find that everyone is dour and gloomy. And so you just want to say, I can hear myself saying, or my wife saying, you know, come on, what's going on here? Let's get happy. Let's liven things up, you know.
Right.
The bipolar person, is kind of walking a razor's edge between courage and discourage, hope and hopeless, half glass full, half glass empty, kind of. And so the mind gets kind of tired of discouragement, just like if you're walking in a room and people are dour and gloomy, you can only take that for so long and you look for something else. So the mind gets tired of this maybe state of discouragement. And so the brain, we know the difference between the mind and the brain. The mind is that rational part and even the spiritual part, and the brain is just the machinery. So the mind gets tired of the discouragement, tired of the dour gloom or the pessimism. The brain then is simultaneously signaled that there's a change coming and anticipates a positive change. So this happens together. The brain and the mind are easy to distinguish, but they're very difficult to differentiate.
Okay.
The brain is anticipating with the mind. This anticipates a positive change and responds to it neurologically, appropriately neurologically, so change coming. The problem is that the person, the bipolar person, though wanting a positive change in his or her outlook, hasn't the objective frame in which to make that meaningful change. It's almost like you could imagine a child who wants to be athletic but isn't quite the muscles aren't quite developed. So if they try to spin around, they make a flop of it. Or if they try to...
Or if they're just not athletic, just not talented.
Yeah, their mind wants to do it, but the body just can't keep up or something like that. And these people, this population, they want to make this change, but they don't have a good framework. And so the change that occurs is tends to be unguided, unrestrained, unmanaged, unrealistic, unsustainable. It's almost like you could almost imagine it's somewhat like a parent who is afraid to really put limits on their child, and so they let them go, and then they sort of explode on them. So it's either all or nothing instead of guided, realistic,
The parent explodes.
Or I've seen it in the classroom where a teacher can't control the classroom and she lets things go, and then finally explodes. Or he lets things go. Let's not blame all the guys. And then finally lowers the boom. And it's sort of like an over. My dad used to say to us, I'm going to throw you out across that canyon. Well, of course, he would never do that. But that was it was all kind of an all or nothing. You know, you let him go. And then the consequences are, I'm going to ground you for the rest of your life, something like that.
I kind of behave like that sometimes. Kind of a stuffer with feelings and then finally blow
well,
up.
See, we always do. We all do that to some extent. And I guess that's what I'm the point I'm trying to make here is to normalize this somewhat. But so these changes that we wind up, they're kind of uncontrolled, unmanaged, unrealistic, unsustainable. And so the manic phase, it tends to be short-lived. Then they drip back into the discouragement. And again, because these are two points on the same continuum, it's not so remarkable that happens. You know, you can get tired of feeling bad and you can start singing "The Sun Is Going to Come Up Tomorrow." But you can only do that so long. And if you don't have a framework to make things better, then you're probably going to fail at that and find yourself right back here in the depressed or the low mood again. Some research has shown a link between this popularized bipolar and the good old obsessive compulsive disorder. And of course, that makes sense. And it would suggest that both of these have to do with self-absorption or too much self-focus. Both of them tend to be anxiety behaviors, as I kind of pointed out before.
OC, now say that again. OCD and bipolar are very similar, is what
they're
you're
very
saying.
Similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they found that they found even mm-hmm. a neurological link between the
mm-hmm.
two,
mm-hmm.
and that and so I'm suggesting that they both have a lot to do with self-absorption mm-hmm. or too much self-focus to be
mm-hmm.
healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I've written a paper, and we did a radio show here, 5 Reasons Why I Can Never Be Happy When It's All About Me, which is why these diagnoses are so common in Hollywood.
Well,
and
this
why,
is why just in our modern world, mm-hmm. it is. It's all about me.
Yeah. And that's we are kind very of, self-absorbed.
Very. That's yeah. the current kind of ill of the Western society, mm-hmm. and that's why there's so much, quote, mm-hmm. bipolar disorder yeah. going around. It's because everybody's yeah. so focused on themselves.
Yeah. And bipolar and all of the anxiety, depression, mental health disorders, which for me, as I've pointed out on the show before, pretty much sums them up, aside from things that are brain trauma, brain damage, those kinds of things. The bulk of our, even our childhood disorders, sexual disorders, all of those things are fear and shame driven, which is anxiety and depression driven. And yeah, in the West, we have a lot. Well, we say the West, but the West is becoming global, you know, pretty much. Then that connection then between OCD and bipolar, by the way, was...
But this is interesting. I'm sure there are studies that show that, like, third world countries where you're mainly just trying to get clean water and food, they probably have no problems with depression or...
much less, and also it used to be back when there were cultures that were much more family-oriented.
Family-oriented.
Japanese culture mm-hmm. for example, many of the other cultures that are close-knit family. So these things would probably, you could say that these things, these certain things that I list off here could typify a bipolar mindset. Generally speaking, lack of healthy, inclusive, exclusive boundaries. You know, boundaries aren't just to keep people out. Boundaries are also to let people in a healthy way. So I would say that that kind of the bipolar mindset would be typified, you know, generally speaking, by unhealthy, inclusive and exclusive boundaries, and also boundaries having to do, you know, with time and money, as well as relationship. Lack of consistent organization. So if you have bipolar, been diagnosed with bipolar, just ask yourself, reflect on these. Lack of consistent organization, lack of confidence and self-worth, and basically what we've talked about a lot in the different shows. A sense of personal value, a sense of control over things that are affecting me in my life, and a sense of resource. Best treatment? Therapy actually turns out to be the best treatment. The psychotic medications that they give don't reverse chemical balance, as they tell you that they will. They dampen brain activity. Some quotes here from, again, Dr. Moncleef. In her book, The Bitterest Pill, The Troubling Story of Antipsychotic Drugs, effects of antipsychotics include increased weight, higher cholesterol, increased glucose, risk of diabetes and heart failure, and also a thing called irreversible tardive dyskinesia, which is loss of muscle control, particularly in the face, but can be other. I've had people just lose their balance. Come in with a couple of bags of...
This is why when you see it on TV, the advertisements for these things, mm-hmm. the disclaimer and all the possible yeah. side effects yeah. is almost more longer yeah. part of the commercial yeah. than the actual benefits.
And one more is they've linked it to brain shrinkage, which is very sad. And this is why I mentioned the schizophrenic earlier in the show. So what do we do in therapy? What do I do in therapy to help this? Okay, I just treat it like I treat anxiety, depression. And so we go after that. In therapy, we work on fundamentals of resolving fear and shame, because that's where it's all rooted. We stress process that follows purpose. And so people who are having these mood swings in their own way, they're trying to tweak the process. But the problem is they don't have a purpose, and process always follows purpose. So we have to start off by establishing a purpose. And even Christians who have been diagnosed with this and are on this new popular bipolar, Life management. This is kind of the stream. Life management, defining purpose, learning tools, setting realistic goals, serving others, and growing in faith, you could say. Defining purpose, learning tools, setting realistic goals. Serving others is so fundamental to mental health. Got to be five reasons why I can never be happy when it's all about me. We're wired to serve other people, not ourselves, and then growing in our faith. So it takes some time to unwind this root ball.
Yeah,
glad you said that.
And it does require a lot of times some assistance, which is where you come in. Life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If you've struggled with a bipolar disorder or diagnosis and you maybe want a different approach, Daniel would love to help you. So how do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Well, yes, you can call me at 425-778-6169. It's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices in Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, another great broadcast, Sound Mind, with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.